And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast, it's the 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is Wednesday, September 16, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to talk to the president of CPAC, the Christian Israeli Political Affairs Committee, which is one of the most incredible men on the Hill that you should know, a man that works so hard for the well-being of humanity, for Christian friends, and for Jewish brothers. I am so proud to call him my friend. Richard Ellman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Orly. Great to be with you.
Thank you, sir. I'm so happy for you today because we have the most important issue on the table after this holiday of New Year, of the Israeli Jewish New Year, with the starting of the riots on Temple Mount. And, you know, Jerusalem is dear to us all, but you have a special perspective on this. Do you want to tell me what you did so far for in concern to Jerusalem so we can start talking about today?
Sure, Orly. Shana Tova first, and trust you have a very rich and sweet New Year, and all of your listeners do also. I first went to Israel to visit during Pesach many years ago, and then within 6 months, I was working in Jerusalem. I was living in En Kerem, and I was working in Mizrat HaPanim, the Israel Ministry of Interior, and there I drew the environmental laws for Israel, and I drew up the plans for what became Israel's Ministry of Environmental Protection today, which is
wow,
a large and very effective government organization doing a good job of protecting the environment of Israel and even providing good model for other countries and regions and for the whole Middle East and the world. And so I lived in Jerusalem, in En Kerem, and we came to know and to love Jerusalem, and we came to understand that it really was the undivided Jewish capital of a reborn, recreated Israel. And so when I went back, when I came back here to the United States, to Washington, D.C., to form CPAC, the Christians Israel Public Action Campaign, the first thing we did, even before CPAC was formally launched, I was invited to Capitol Hill to testify on Senator Pat Moynihan's bill to put the Jerusalem, our U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. And that hearing was quite amazing because I kept hearing the words resonating in my mind from the Psalms, from Psalm 137 in verse 5. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her cunning or ability. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. And interestingly, the chairman of the committee, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee at that time, really wasn't very interested in Israel or Jerusalem. He wasn't a bad man. It's just he was interested in things like Nepal and India and Russia, but not Israel or Jerusalem. So at the end of the hearing, after he had claimed credit for persuading President Sadat to go to Jerusalem and make peace with Menachem Begin, with the Jewish state, with Israel, something that we had witnessed while we lived there during our 7 years in Israel, I thought that was quite an amazing claim. And then when he gave us one more minute to anyone who had something more to say before he closed out the hearing, my hand shot up and I said, Mr. Chairman, I just implore you to use the powers of persuasion that you did on our president and or that you did on President Sadat of Egypt, but implore our president today to put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem and we won't need this legislation. And the whole hearing room broke out into applause. But that chairman didn't understand Jerusalem. And suddenly the words of the psalm came back to me, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, May my right hand lose its cunning and or ability, and may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. And I thought, it's going to be very hard for him to get reelected this fall. And sure enough, he was defeated after many years in the Senate. So I think there are consequences to understanding and supporting Jerusalem. And then we saw various presidents promise to put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. President Clinton so promised and didn't do it. And then came President Bush. When he was running for office, he said, I'll put the embassy in Jerusalem as a first order of business. And we went to the White House on July 30th of 2001, and that was one of the things we urged him to do. But he didn't do it, and then came 9/11, and it eclipsed everything else. But before that, in 1995, I had drafted a bill for Senator John Kyle of Arizona, which was what I call the Just Do It bill. It said that the embassy of the United States in Israel was hereby relocated to Jerusalem, and there would only be money for an embassy in Israel in Jerusalem. And we even said you don't need to build a new building because we own three or four buildings in Jerusalem. You can just, in effect, the embassy was moved, would be moved by the force of this law. Well, sadly, the forces of political correctness got hold of that bill before Prime Minister Rabin was to visit that fall, and they put in these six-month extensions, which we opposed bitterly but unsuccessfully. And ever since then, President Clinton and his successors, up to and including President Obama, have all extended the obligation to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem from its present place in Tel Aviv. They all have taken a pass on that every 6 months on the grounds, which I believe are specious, that this is for U.S. national security. In fact, that's a perversion of the words, because if we really are the strongest and most respected nation on earth, as we should be, we can favor our friend Israel and just do the ordinary thing, put our U.S. embassy in Jerusalem where it belongs, just as we have put our embassy in the capital of every state throughout history, every nation throughout history. We even had our embassy in East Berlin when we didn't even recognize the German Democratic Republic, the communist East Germany. We had a big embassy in East Berlin because it suited our purposes. So the United States has been very hypocritical and unfair to Israel in this regard. In many ways, America is a good friend and ally of Israel. But in this is one of the respects where we're sadly lacking.
No, thank you for this. This is a really a great statement, because it starts reorganize the thought of this, you know, the status of Jerusalem. But
yes,
I want to mention that there is one good thing. You know, every 6 months the president needs to vote on it, and the last time he voted it was in June 2015. So by December he probably will have to vote for another time. And this time we need to call it quits. We need to ask the world what is the status of Jerusalem per se, because I don't understand why they encourage terrorism to be in Jerusalem, why they encourage the chaos to be in the most holy city of all for every religion in the world. This is like the world attempt to destroy the country, because Jerusalem is connected, if you like it or not. But for some reason, if you want to pave a road in this Jerusalem, they call you, you know, you are, you start taking over East Jerusalem, and everybody comes and stand up against Israel. And we want to have school, and we want to finish those work. They don't have like water, sewer, stuff like this that, you know, the pardon, you know, me mentioning it, but it's important. It's important for us to understand that by the world objecting to Israel, defining, you know, the city and making it pretty and holy like it's supposed to, they're actually creating a chaos, you know, in the planning. And it's happened every day. And now we are facing with the approach that even the Jordanian king decided to come strong against Israel when the Palestinian, who is supposed to control on Temple Mount, attacking Israeli. So
yeah.
And the world is silent. You know, there is no reason. There is no organized thought. And as you say, you know, there is no policy. And we need to start thinking where we start our policy. Where is the right for mankind to be in Jerusalem? And first of all, we need to organize that city. And America and the United States has the duty. Now, it's not even a choice. It's the duty to take charge and make amends on this, you know, on this day where everything is confused.
No, Orly, you're absolutely right. And we have to come at it from various angles to have victory in this respect. I remember back when I drafted the bill for Senator Kyle, there were some of my friends from New York who said, oh, you know, Israel is so busy working for peace, it should be easy to get the U.S. government to put the embassy in Jerusalem. I said, first, trust me, we are going to work very hard, but it is whatever it's going to be, it is not going to be easy, because the State Department and the British Foreign Office and all the foreign ministries of the world are opposed to any idea like this, because they do not understand the Bible. They do not work from a biblical or a principled or an ethical point of view. They are still in the colonial mindset, sadly, in many ways, and they just want to make friends with and kiss up to the Arab and Muslim nations of the world. But times have changed, and we do not need the Arab Gulf states and the other nations of the world for oil anymore, for petroleum. Israel is energy independent, and so is America, or we soon will be in every way, and you soon will be in every way. So the time has come for America to do the right thing. And we are working on Capitol Hill with members of Congress to say, now is the time to really get this done, to take away the president's authority to extend that obligation, because the 1995 Jerusalem Embassy Act says in point blank that the U.S. Embassy should be in Jerusalem. So we just have to take away, and the Congress should take away forthwith this year from President Obama the authority to, for any more 6-month extensions of this duty to put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. And in fact,
well, I don't want to take away from the president, because, so, as he said, he's the most Jewish president that we ever had. I want to, you know, hold him to the world, to the word that he said. You know, Jerusalem is not just a capital. It's a center of the universe for the most people who understand what, you know, the biblical connection is. And the fact that let's talk, you know, about the Eastern Jerusalem, the most population, our population of Eastern Jerusalem are considered themselves to be more Israeli, because in the last election they hold in 2005, remember, the Palestinians never had since then an election, 2005, if I recollect correctly, 5% of them only voted for the Palestinian Authority, making all the rest going to Social Security and making sure they get paid for, you know, their monthly dues. Most people, we have statistics that say that Jerusalem is under the control of Israel, is much more likely, you know, to be understood and accepted by the Arab one. It's the rest of the world that decide no. For some reason, they have a problem with that.
Yes.
And we need to come to term and just make a hard decision. If we want to start getting this world in order, Jerusalem is the place to start with, I think.
Yes. Well, you know, this very day, I will see at least two, if not more, top Democrats in the U.S. Senate, and I will make a point of asking each of them, will you go to President Obama and tell him that you want him to let the U.S. Embassy go to Jerusalem, as the law provides, this December, instead of taking another 6-month extension? And I will report right back to you what each of them say. But
that
frankly,
would be nice.
I am doubtful that they will make it a high priority. One is Jewish, the other is not, but never mind. I doubt that they will make this a high priority. And in fact, someone who worked for President Reagan and later was involved in the formation of a big pro-Israel Christian organization 10 years ago, I said in advising them as they were setting up this organization, I said, you should insist that the U.S. Embassy be put in Jerusalem. And this prominent Christian figure, who still says he's a great friend of Israel, said, oh, no, no president will do that, because he will only do what the State Department, what his Secretary of State tells him to do. This is why I am sure that the Congress must, although it's run by Republicans today, the Senate and the House leadership are Republican, and the majorities are Republican, I cannot see the Democrats refusing this after all of, shall we say, the bad history of how they are dealing with the Iran agreement. They've been dealing with the Iran agreement currently. So I think this is an excellent time for the Republicans to say, it's time for us to take away the 6-month extension authority from the president and send a veto-proof bill to him, and so that we can pass it over his veto if he hasn't seen the light on this. And I'll tell you why this is so important this year, Orly, because rumors I hear are that the nations of the world, and you can see this in the British Foreign Office and the French and the other, even our State Department, they are fixing to try somehow to recognize a new Palestinian state and have a big press conference or something like that in East Jerusalem, maybe at the American colony, and have an ambassador for a new Palestinian state. This is the strong rumor that I am hearing. So this is why we must preempt that, and we must insist that the Congress say that by taking away the authority to extend this obligation another 6 months, and by insisting that the president place our U.S. embassy in Jerusalem right now and declare that our U.S. embassy is in Jerusalem right now, that is to ensure that America clearly supports an undivided Jewish Jerusalem as the capital, which it clearly is, of the reborn Jewish state, and as it clearly has been the capital of Israel and no other state for more than 3,000 years. You know, we always, many quote this scripture, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee, Psalm 122 and verse 6. But that is not the word for prayer, for praying, as you know. In Hebrew, it's a different word. This is sha'alu et ha-shalom shel Yerushalayim. It means diligently pursue and follow after the wholeness, completeness, and well-being of Jerusalem, and then you shall prosper or do well. So this is scripture that many Christians and Jews quote, and they pray this, I'm praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Most don't understand. They really are praying for the wholeness, completeness, and well-being of Jerusalem, not just peace, which is often misunderstood. So it's very, very important now for the Congress to be on board and to get serious and to take away the president's authority to delay this move of our U.S. embassy to Jerusalem another 6 months, because sadly, even though you have no partner with whom to negotiate, and the PLO doesn't want to negotiate in good faith. And in fact, I don't believe there should ever be a new Palestinian state right in your Kishkis, right in your heartland in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem and so forth. No way should there
but,
be.
But I want to say it again, like I say it every time on this show. There was never a Palestinian state, but the fact of the matter, now we don't even have a leadership. The Hamas
right.
to control a terrorist organization,
right.
to control of people, you know, they holding them in Gaza, which
yes.
Israel evacuated. And, you know, in the other side, the chairman of the PLO is actually resigning in a few weeks, and there is no another leader to take over.
Yes.
And they are scattered. They are joining
yes.
forces with ISIS, and
yes.
it's like America will recognize a terrorist organization as a state. Okay, so give up the war on terror and just close shop.
Orly, you're absolutely right. But as I sometimes say, it's not as bad as you think. It's worse because, in fact, the chairman of the PLO or Palestinian Authority, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same dish of rotten fish. Mahmoud Abbas and his cohorts in that regime, who have never been elected in the last 10 years or more, but they not only are not controlling or restraining the rioting and terrorism on the Temple Mount and in other places throughout historic Israel. They are inciting it. They are encouraging and inciting their people to hatred and terrorism and war. And as we know, Fatah, the party of the PLO that Mahmoud Abbas, under which he's supposed to be ruling, their charter has never been changed, and it's just as vicious, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, as the Hamas charter, except they dress a little more nicely, and they sometimes talk about peace, but they really don't want to live with a Jewish state, and they will not even call Israel a Jewish state that has a right to exist. So you have no partner for peace. In fact, The PLO, the Palestinian Authority, which are two sides of the same coin, they incite the people to terrorism and to occupation of the mosques on the Temple Mount and such things. And it's no accident that it happened on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. They want to incite the Arab and Muslim world and their sympathizers around the world to say that Israel is somehow occupying Arab or Palestinian land. And the craziest thing, when I'm on Arab or Iranian TV, they say that Israel is Judaizing Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. How can you Judaize the heart of Judaism and Israel? It's crazy, but that's the nonsense that some around the world swallow and promote.
And you know, the world is giving it the stage in United Nations, raising a flag. And I said, like, they have an ambassador to UFO. They have also a flag of Palestine because it doesn't exist.
That's
it's
right.
Like they're living in some kind of denial, because they don't want to see the people that act in terror. They don't want to accept the fact that those people are organized mercenary that's been paid by
yes.
so many leaders around the world that want to create the chaos in order for them to facilitate more war and, you know, do whatever they want in the rest of the world. But right
yes.
now, you know, Europe is suffering. Europe is feeling it. And on top of everything, they elect in England, they elect the Labour leader to be one that he calls himself a friend of Hezbollah. So
terrible.
I don't know what
terrible.
Where they are going to. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I don't know if from the time that we formed CPAC years ago, we have tried to reach out to Europe, to the European Parliament and so forth. but it's very, very difficult because there is so much, frankly, anti-Semitism, anti-Israel prejudice and bias in Europe that it's almost lost. There are some good Christians and Jews and people of goodwill in Europe who try to maintain friendship with Israel, but I'm afraid that with all the incursions and immigration and refugees from the Arab and Muslim world into Europe, it sinks further and further into the anti-Israel camp. But in America, particularly in the Congress, the support for Israel is very strong. And so we are looking at the Congress to direct the president that enough is enough after 20 years of this law, which says the embassy should be in Jerusalem, to do what the law says and declare that our U.S. embassy, in fact, is located in Jerusalem, and to tell Dan Shapiro, the ambassador who used to work in the Senate for Senator Bill Nelson of Florida, tell him, well, get in your limousine and drive up to Jerusalem and put your flag on your desk in one of the buildings that America owns in Jerusalem, or in your suite at the King David, and say, my embassy now is here. You don't even need to build a new building. So we're looking for that to happen, and soon. Say, it would be very nice, say, by Hanukkah this year, wouldn't it, to have a Hanukkah, an opening of the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem formally. Let's look forward to that.
That will be wonderful, Richard. That's so sweet. Now, I want to give you another thought to think. I know that I'm holding you for quite some time, and I thank you for the time. I know it's valuable,
right.
And you're working so hard, you know, on Capitol Hill. But I want to tell you, I've been in Rome last week, and something that I never thought that I would hear. People are objecting to the Star of David on the flag because it recognizes Judaism for them. But, you know, I want to mention it to you because it's probably not really known elsewhere. You know, the Star of David is the star on the shield of King David. This is the statement for the kingdom of David. So when we put the star on the flag, it's not about being, you know, it's not symbolizing Judaism like the house of David. So people need to understand that it's different. It's not, in every synagogue you'll find the Star of David, but it's not a religion object like the cross is.
No.
It's different. It's the house of David. It's something that when they said that when the time will come, the house of David will rise again, and it's the kingdom. So
you're absolutely right, Orly. And in fact, you and I know, and Israelis, I think, probably all know that the Star of David, the Magen David, is not the symbol of the Jewish state of Israel. The menorah,
the
candelabra really is the symbol of the state of Israel, as is seen, for example, in the big bronze menorah across from the Knesset, Israel's parliament, on in the government area there of Jerusalem. So. But the symbolism is powerful, and Israel should be strong in supporting its symbols because, you know, there was for a long time there was a the Red Cross, and the Red Cross became the symbol of humanitarian and medical and disaster relief worldwide. Well, then came the Red Crescent, and the Crescent of the Islamic countries, they had a Red Crescent instead of a cross, which they thought was too Christian. And then when Israel said, we have the Magen David Adom, the Red Star of David, the world said, oh, we couldn't do that. So as I recall, I think finally they accepted, some part of
Star
of David, like one red triangle or something, which is ridiculous. So
I want to mention, because you mentioned the ambulance, you know, the Magen David, the Star of David, the red Star of David, that represent the medical form of, you know, the ambulance.
Yes.
They are not allowed to go to Judea and Samaria. They are not allowed to go across the green light. It's something ridiculous. Because they say you can use ambulance that has a different format, but you're not allowed because the Red Cross, the universal organization that does not recognize the Star of David, the Red Star of David, going into the territory.
Yes. So that's ridiculous, Orly. And in fact...
unbelievable.
Yes, and this is... This is the dirty truth, but it is the truth that I bring up from time to time, that Israel, not the Arab nations and not the Palestinian Arabs, it's Israel that is discriminated against in the international realm. And you only need one example to see that. That is the fact that Israel, under the way the UN is organized, or misorganized is what you should say. The UN has made it such a way that Israel will never be selected to sit on the Security Council as one of the nations that periodically, you know, by rotation, can sit on the Security Council along with the five permanent members. So Israel, which is regularly bashed and attacked by the United Nations, including the Security Council, if America isn't vigilant enough, Israel will never be selected by the Western Europe and other group to represent them on the Security Council, because as I understand it, as a condition of their becoming one of these groups, because the Middle East group didn't want you, sadly. You became part of the Western Europe and other group, and so you're supposed to be nice and never ask to be on the Security Council. So there's many, many of these discriminations against Israel
world. But as far as United Nations, I really don't concern myself much, because once they kick out the United States from the Human Rights Organization, I trust that everybody understands that the United Nations still has to show the world that it's worth their while.
It's sad. The United Nations began, as we know, as a reaction to World War II. All the nations were supposed to come together, defeat the Axis powers, and create a new world, a new international order in which no Holocaust or any such terrible event would ever happen again. And of course, never again, sadly, became ever again. And we saw so many efforts coming up to the present day, to Darfur and Rwanda and Darfur and now Syria, in which nobody has any heart to stop genocide, which is really what it is. And Iran constantly threatens Israel with genocide, and that's an international crime, which I have gotten the Congress to recognize a few years ago, that in fact Iran calling for the elimination of Israel and much more is inciting their people and the world to genocide. So these things ought not be, and the United Nations should be doing what it was created to do, not what it all too often does, which is to bash Israel, the only free democracy with respect for the rights of all in the whole Middle East. It's
absolutely.
We have our work cut out for us, Orly.
We have so much work, but, you know, I'm insisting that this time the United States need to really choose and see clear and just go and move the embassy without making too much a big deal out of it, because there is no other. And the fact that Jordan is claiming Jordan lost the war on Jerusalem and nobody else, you know, can make a statement, a declaration in regard, especially when they are signing, they signed on a peace accord with Jerusalem, with Israel, and they gave up Jerusalem. So they have no claim. They have no claim. We gave them the, you know, Israel gave them the right to oversee the worshiping on the mosque, but she didn't give them the right on Jerusalem. So they misunderstand, the interpretation of this accord is wrong. And once the king of Jordan, which, you know, by no means was under, you know, rebellion endangerment a few years back, he cannot state anything of sort that, you know, Israel needs to calm down on the status quo. There is no status quo. It's over. You know, that agreement is passé. It's finito. Finito.
Well, you know, we thank God that that Jordan, in fact, did sign a peace treaty with Israel, and while not perfect, the relationship with between Jordan and Israel, like the relationship between Egypt and Israel today, is as strong as I've ever seen it, and in part because they are, you know, all of you are in tacit alliance against Iran and the Islamists like ISIS. So, but and the Muslim Brotherhood. But when you think about it, Jordan was an artificially created state that never existed in history. They just needed some place to put the princes who had helped Lawrence of Arabia defeat the Turks. So, and who could no longer rule Mecca. So. That's why they created Jordan. But having said that, Jordan indeed should be a bit humble and realize that it's Israel's presence there and America's support that keeps Jordan's neighbors from gobbling it up. So, but I now, Orly, something we haven't spoken. But you and I have a job to do. We need to go to the Knesset and to the Israel government and to the Foreign Ministry of Israel, all institutions that I know and love, and you even more so as an Israeli citizen and a Sabra, a native-born Israeli. We have to go and say that Israel must be proud and have self-respect and, in fact, insist upon the rights that other nations have. This is a long-time campaign of mine, but I have encouraged Israelis to say to others, yes, you must put your embassy in Jerusalem because that is our capital. And for Israel to say, yes, we must have a seat at the table by regular rotation like all these other nations, many even smaller and less productive and poorer than Israel, we should have a seat at the Security Council and in the other decision-making bodies of the UN by regular rotation. And yes, we must not be discriminated against in international organizations or in any other respect. And, you know, it comes down also to the to this terrible and pernicious boycott, divestment, and sanctions operation. We are combating that BDS all the time. That is a flat-out violation of international law. And so, and I think
and
that
they, and
there's
the
much
European
more, there's
Union
much
is
more
second.
That Israel could do and much more that America could do to fight this blatant discrimination against Israel.
Well, and the European Union actually is seconding that. I think we are working against an organization that are bluffing their way around, because if there is reason, if there is right, if there is a truth, all what they are doing will not exist. They need to go back to the, you know, to the board and start reconsidering. The
yes.
fact is that Israel is supposed to, by a biblical connection, supposed to be custodian to the holy places. It doesn't matter which.
Absolutely.
And then, so we need to take charge of Jerusalem, because in front of God, we are the custodian. That's
yes.
our duty.
Yes.
And then we'll start taking care of people. You know, we don't have problem with anybody, but they have to stop throwing stone. Because if Israel today declare war against those people who throw stone because it's a terror act, we are actually in the gate of a new round of violence. And
you're
we
right.
want to call all the people in charge of the other side to call them quits, to call the dogs out and to tell them to stop, because nobody's going to win. Israel is going to go full
right.
force. Jerusalem is going to be under control, because
yes.
nothing you can do about it. And, of course, Lebanon, that is undermined right now with Hezbollah and all, is already, you know, making some noises. The whole region is going to be changed. And I don't
right.
know, in this time in history, which the prophecy will say that Israel this time will win it big time. And you know what?
Yes.
I'll push my way around to show the world that, you know, people need to be responsible for
oh, yes.
what they're doing, and they are actually running the world ragged. Europe is going crazy. The Americans already in the street for so much time. There are riots everywhere, and they are silencing. Australia riots in the streets. Africa
yes.
is being, you know, kidnapping all the people. You know, I don't know what they're expecting more. I would call everybody to change, you know, to change the government, start anew, and let's start taking care of the world, because the world, as I see it, is not being run by anybody.
Yes.
It's run ragged.
Well, you know, you make some good points, Orly. I would say, you know, going back to Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, This is by far and away a Jewish site for 3,500 years. This is the center of Judaism in the Bible, and it only became a prominent Muslim site in fairly recent times, and I believe mainly to compete with and defeat Judaism. That was the intent of the Muslim authorities. But Israel made a mistake, I dare say, in 1967 when it recovered the Temple Mount in the Six-Day War after Jordan had foolishly attacked to help Egypt and Syria. So Israel
right.
made a mistake. They should have
right.
turned this over to the Waqf, the Islamic Authority, because, for example, when I have gone up there, I once went up on the Temple Mount in 1987 with a Christian minister, and he started to, I don't know, give a little message about the Bible or sing a song, and suddenly the Islamic police ran over and said, no, no, quiet, quiet, no prayer, no Bible talk up here. And one day, I was leading a group up to the Temple Mount, and I had a little pocket Bible in my jacket, and when I took it out to go through security, they said, you have to leave this here. You can't take that up on the Temple Mount. So here are two instances that I, or a group with whom I was going to the Temple Mount, were discriminated against by the police because they didn't want us even inadvertently to disturb the Islamic hegemony, the Islamic total dominance over the Temple Mount. So I have gone up with a noted member of the Knesset years ago who said there were plans perhaps to have a little synagogue up on the Temple Mount. Well, I'm sure that the Islamic authorities and the nations of the world, the Middle East and the world, would be outraged by that, but But it is crazy that the holiest place in Judaism couldn't have a little covered place of worship for Jews. So,
right.
But I think that Israel has to say, we are the sovereign over this territory, and we are going to keep order. Our police have always been more than fair to the Islamic worshipers and leaders on the Temple Mount, in the mosques, but we are going to enforce order. There's not going to be demonstrations, riots, stone throwing, firebombing, and all of this stuff from the Al-Aqsa Mosque under the pretense of demonstrating against Israel. That's not acceptable. And
well, they are demonstrating against God of Israel, and they forgot who they're talking to, because God of Israel's intention is really clear. He wants everybody to get along. That's the ultimate test of all the world. We are three religions together. If we accept God, ruling over us, we need to understand that this is the test. We need to accept each other as children of one God. Once we decide to do so, we will get along. Everybody will get along. But they don't want to accept anybody but their own real understanding of God, because if they understood God, they wouldn't think that. But they understand that they want to be the only child in front of God, and all the rest can be going elsewhere. And that's what happened everywhere. That's what they're doing in Europe. That's what they're doing in Africa. And that's what they're trying to do here.
So when I come to Jerusalem again,
God willing,
you and I, and it won't be long. You and I can go to the Israel government authorities and say, we support your right to keep order in all of Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, but we also encourage you, for example, in the foreign ministry, to give a high priority to the need for other nations to respect Jerusalem as your capital and to place their embassies here. I'm not saying, try to tell other nations what to do, but tell them that it is a high priority, because frankly, I have heard Israel foreign ministry representatives who come to Capitol Hill say, oh, that's not a very high priority. So
that's what we have a problem with. Most of the foreign ministry is left wing. They talk about Jerusalem like it will be divided someday, which is ludicrous when they're, the policy of the government.
Yes.
The foreign ministry has a problem. Israel has a problem when its representative does not claim Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Yes, but the new government in Israel, I think, is changing that, and that's why I think there would be an open door for the foreign minister, the deputy foreign minister, and the director general of Misrata Chutz, the foreign ministry.
So let them start with nominating a foreign minister. There is no foreign minister to Israel. It's prime minister. He takes control, and he thinks that the world can wait until the prime minister does his job, and then a foreign minister maybe can have a window to disturb himself. Come on.
But even now, with the deputy and the director general, we should encourage them and say, we support full rights for Israel, and we encourage you to stand up for those rights. And we realize you can't fight every battle every day, and Israel must survive in a tough neighborhood. But a part of this is insisting that Israel, which is a wonderful democracy and a very productive nation and innovative nation, and has given and is continuing to give so much to the world, that it at least has the respect and the rights of every nation, because the UN Charter says all nations are equal and all nations should receive all the rights of other nations. So Israel should, of course, and we should encourage them to stand up for those rights, and we should support them fully. So I think we have a lot to do, Orlie, but we need
to work hard and come to Israel. We'll work together. We'll go to the Knesset, and I welcome everybody your bunch to come over here and help us do the job. We really need you guys. Listen, we're running out almost the whole full hour. We spoke without a break. God bless you, Richard. God bless you, Richard Elman.
And Orlie, we encourage all your listeners worldwide to go to our website www.cipaconline.org, cipaconline.org, for more developments on how we move ahead with the issues that we've described today, particularly the need for Jerusalem to be recognized and our embassy to be placed there, and also to our think tank, Merkel, the Middle East Research Center Limited, MERCL.org. And while there, they can join CPAC or they can contribute to Merkel and help us as the only registered biblical lobby for a strong U.S.-Israel relationship and the only think tank that is fully supportive of these biblical positions and these reasonable, you know, pro-Israel, pro-American positions, that they can join in alongside us and help us to be still more effective. We've won many battles and avoided many terrible things that were proposed by the U.S. State Department and the U.N., but we need help to continue to fight that battle. It isn't getting easier.
I know. All right. On that note, we are going to salute Richard Elman. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll talk soon, and God bless you for everything you're doing. We need to wrap up this show today, even though it was Wednesday with Italian music. We are going to make it up to you guys. Thank you, Richard. I love you. God bless
you. Thank you, Orlie. It's mutual. Bye,
have sweetheart.
A wonderful New Year. And we trust that Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you soon, there or here.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Keep in touch, Sanjay. I'll talk to you. Best of love. Thank you so much. All right, we're back. This is BBS Radio with The Impossible Truth. This is Orlie Benny Davis, and we've been talking to Richard Elman, the president of the Christian Israel Public Action Campaigning. It's actually a great pact which work hard, so hard, to make the voice of the Christian believers to help assist, you know, the Holy Land. The Holy Land is for everybody. It's not just, you know, ours or theirs or yours. It's everybody. That's where God's supposed to be the king. That's the Holy Land where blessings should be, and, you know, deals can be made, connection. And there is a big promise that once you cut a deal, you know, make accord with others, the blessing will follow. You guys need to try it. We try fighting everybody else. Why don't we try in this time? Why don't we try to have the possibility to work together? Because I know everybody in their hearts are really good, and in their life they had some challenges. Everybody has one. It's not easy. It's not easy more, you know, more today than ever that I can see. We still have to believe, and the belief is the leap of faith that we need for everybody. This world needs this leap of faith, because the way they are, you know, the leadership of the world is going, and I don't know what's the leadership of the world this day. When I say that, I know that it doesn't exist, because Europe, the Europeans decide by themselves on something that regards the all, you know, Middle East, which is controversial. So the American needs to take part, the Russian needs to take part, the Australian, everybody needs to take part, but there is no our world, your world. It's ours together. So once we'll start doing that, we can make sure that, you know, our tomorrow, the children of tomorrow will be war-free. We can maybe start thinking how the world will look like without explosive and without war. And the way, you know, that you left, if you leave those kids throwing stones, you know, and I'm calling to Jordan, I'm calling to the King of Jordan with all respect that is due. If you let them run ragged, sure enough, they'll come and be everywhere. Israel will stop them, but we don't want to be the bad guy. We want to embrace, love everybody, not the opposite. It's about time that the Shield of David represent the strength and fortitude of a nation that is devoted to God and does what is right before Him. And any attempt to try to put a different sign on us will be wrong. So I bless you all. I know that it was 1 hour of talk. Wow, never stop. And we could have gone the second hour too if we let, because there's so much work. And a man that works for I don't know how many years, 20, 30 years at least. I work 25 in the background, so he probably double it. He has much to tell the world. And the shortcoming of the leadership is really transparent these days. And it's about time we call it quits. And we start with Jerusalem, the heart of the world, the heart of the universe, where peace should start there. God bless you all. I love you. We'll talk on Sunday, as usual, with the great guests, and we will have fun then. God bless you all from Israel, Holy Land. I send all my blessings. May you inscribe in the Book of Life. Bye-bye.